Excuse me, but can we quickly talk about fashion's creative crisis? Remember when creative directors used to stick around long enough so people could actually remember their names? Yeah, me neither. Welcome to Thus Spoke Anna, where we talk fashion, culture, and whatever chaos is unfolding in the industry. I'm your host, Jan, and today we are joined with my friend Diana, a fellow young fashion professional I met at London College of Fashion.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. You know, I have so many opinions about everything.
Yeah, so what you guys maybe need to know, Diana and me, we analyze and talk about this quite often off record. So this is going to be fun. Today we're going to talk about the Couture Spring Summer 25 season, as well as about the current fashion crisis we're going through. And just to kind of set the tone, let's maybe look back at what couture was, or what couture stood for back in the days, to versus what it is now. I think when we look back in, like, far, far back, starting with Frederick Worth, I think it was really about showing what a designer is able to do in terms of creativity, in terms of craftsmanship, in terms of maybe as well symbolism.
Yeah, he was the first man who actually put his name on the couture gowns, because before that, all of the rich ladies would go to the seamstresses and they would request specific designs to be made. And he was the first one who had his own designs. And that's how we know his name. And it's quite interesting how that evolved into what we have today in terms of what was the move from a designer to a creative director. Because I did some research. And you could see a big shift happening after the 50s. So when the brand started being associated with the designer's name, and then when the brand started being associated with the brand itself without the designer's name attached, like there was a big, this happened between the, at around the 1980s, when fashion started to commercialize a lot more. And us normal people, normies, were able to actually purchase those items, because before that it was impossible for us.
Yes.
But you could see in the 1950s, for example, like you said earlier about the new look by Christian Dior. It was
something we mentioned off record, by the way.
Yes, off record. We were talking about this. But it's true, because how it reflected the times post-war, and how there was something, it was something brand new that people hadn't seen before. I mean, it was still inspired by old, I think it was Victorian silhouettes. I might be completely wrong. I'm just talking about how I feel like. But it was something completely different to what was it before. And there was a big stance, and it completely changed everyday fashion for everyday people at that time.
Absolutely. Which we and didn't. I think what is really interesting to see is that back in the days, it was so, I mean, it was so new. I would say it could even be called a little bit controversial. Like, it was shocking to see how a style can suddenly change that much.
Yeah. What was actual reaction to people? Let me look that up.
Oh, I don't actually know. Imagine that today. It would be such a scandal if you would just, like, you know, come in with something like that, if it's so different to what society was used to before.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I'm just looking up exactly what was people's reaction to it, because that's very interesting if people found it. Because to me, like, there's nothing controversial about it, but I'm looking for it through a 2025.
Exactly. Lens. Same. Absolutely. Today we would say iconic. But I think we're going to get into that. I think we saw some of these, especially one show I have in mind that kind of, like, touched on that as well.
Oh, which one?
Season. Valentino.
Which one? You think so? Why?
To me, Valentino was really interesting because, let's remember, this was Alessandro Michele's first couture show ever.
Yeah.
And I think with him, he has such a unique personality. Like, his style, you just know his style. And I think, like, he's one of the few creatives left that we know in these big brands that really has a style that can be recognized by so many people just from looking at it.
Yes, absolutely.
And
his aesthetic is so strong.
Absolutely, I think it's really strong. And then when we look at the Valentino collection, to me it was just like so different. Looking at all the collections combined, if you had them on one sheet, I feel like the Valentino collection just stands out in terms of like the colors. Let's start with the colors. I mean, so many collections are just beige. And where I mean, I guess I see why they do that. I think there's definitely a customer base that likes to wear beige, and I think it's easy to wear. And if you pay so much money for a gown that like suits you perfectly, might as well make it in a color that you can wear on a red carpet, maybe, you know, on a wedding.
Yeah. Do you think that applies to couture though?
What do you mean?
Because like not realistically, not many people actually buy them.
Couture pieces?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I mean, like, because they're so expensive. I feel like a lot of brands make them in. I mean, there's a lot of beige, there's a lot of white, and a lot of blacks. When we look at all the colors combined, and maybe there's like a few other colors, like rosé, we see quite often as well. But I think we don't really see a lot of color mixes.
Yeah.
And I felt like this collection was very colorful, looking at the patterns and everything, like the mix match of like materials and everything. And I just felt like he dared to make ugly things, if that makes sense. I don't think he dared to make ugly things. No, yeah, but I think
that's his own aesthetic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Ugly grandma aesthetic, and people
exactly.
love it.
Absolutely.
I can appreciate it. It's not my thing, but I can appreciate it.
And I absolutely love that, honestly. I love that he dares to make ugly things. And I think that's something that we miss a little bit in couture. Because everything needs to be so beautiful. I mean, if you look at Schiaparelli, for example. To me, what they do is just stunning. It is beautiful. The craftsmanship is impeccable.
Yes.
And I think that's what original couture means. To me, that's like the name of couture. And then when we look at Valentino, they dare to make as well ugly things beautiful, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And I agree, because you're right. Couture was the craftsmanship and was the techniques that are very hard to do. Because, you know, I started sewing. I haven't done it recently, but... It's just a hobby.
That.
I just don't feel that inspired now. But anyways, I was doing so much research on like sewing techniques just for like it's how hard it is to actually make one thing and just make it look clean. And then there are so many different techniques that are incredibly hard. So the people who are doing those pieces are very, very talented. I have a brand new, like I used to appreciate it before, but now even more since I've done the research and I know how it's made. It's so complicated. Like I can never do it. I struggle making a top. Yeah, it's like my lining, my finishing touches are so bad all the time and they just distort the shape. It's like, how do these people do it? But yeah, so when you see something so beautiful, and I think he had that in his collection. Like I did see some really, really interesting techniques, like for example, the... Okay, anyways. Find it, but I just wanted to say that I found the reaction to Dior's new look. I just want to go back to that. So it caused a sensation and elicited a mix of awe, excitement, and controversy. Many women adored it as it celebrated femininity and moved away from the masculine and boxy wartime styles. But the negative concerns were the practical concerns. Some criticized the look as impractical and wasteful, especially given post-war fabric shortages. The full skirts required up to 20 yards of fabric, which felt excessive. Which I think is quite interesting, because couture is for the ultra-rich. Like, you
literally
can't... So, even... Like, it has always been like this. And it was always how the upper class was differentiating themselves. And here it's interesting to see that, yes, there was a lot of fabric shortages, but these rich ladies could still be afford to buy skirts that required up to 20 yards of fabric. That's interesting. There were protests against the new look in London and New York, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think it can kind of... no, wait, no. I was thinking if that could be tied to maybe the last couture collection of Galliano at Marcella. Because it's so... I think it was as well a love or hate it kind of situation, whereas fashion people absolutely loved it, and maybe... I don't know if there was so. Anyone that hated
Is
it.
They,
I don't know.
I don't think there was anyone
I don't think
that
anyone
hated
hated it.
It.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone hated it. It was just such a good show.
It
was just a great... It was a great show. I think
maybe
from the start of our conversation, that's what's missing now. It's we don't get shows. Because...
Yep.
We've evolved so much from just like the simple craftsmanship. That's true. That's always needed. But I think that's the bare minimum.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why so little brands can call themselves couture brands.
Yes.
Because that's the bare minimum that needs to be.
Exactly. No, but that's the bare minimum for just high-end fashion in general, which we don't see that happening right now with a lot of brands.
But it's not only in couture, as well in ready-to-wear.
Completely different conversation. Yeah. But we see... Oh, wait, I lost my train of thought.
You were saying that we're kind of missing the shows.
Yes. Because we have evolved past that point of having the craftsmanship and the design aspect of it. Like, now we need a show, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that's a completely separate conversation, but we do need a show. Like, the landscape now is, you need to have some kind of spectacle to it. And I think that's what Margiela did. And that's why, like, a lot of shows, especially couture shows, feel very flat nowadays, because there is just no spectacle behind it. Like, yes, it's beautiful, beautiful pieces that you see, and there takes so much talent to make them. But at the same time, like, what else? I mean,
I think
season.
Genuinely, what doesn't help either is that that there need to be two collections a year. I mean... Being able to make such a thing with not only the craftsmanship that we said, with the creative process, but maybe as well with a message, with a story. It doesn't even need to be a message, but it needs to be a story.
Yes.
And to create such a show, I think that's why Marcella was able to do that, because they had a full year to develop that. And I mean, if we look at other brands, they need to deliver. I mean, who's showing twice a year? Dior, Chanel... I mean, almost all of them. They show like twice a year. And I think to have only 6 months to build all of that up, it's just not possible.
Yeah, from concept to end
concept
product.
Wise, yeah, absolutely.
It's impossible to do it. And you can't like let the actual creative director and designer do their job to think of the story. Because, and I also think there is a thing nowadays which like everyone thinks like there needs to be some deep message behind it, but there really doesn't.
No, I agree.
There really doesn't
Absolutely.
Have to be.
There's not like, that many deep messages for and all these collections.
Exactly. Like, how many? I mean, yeah, you can get a deep message, and I really appreciate it when I see something, but it doesn't have to. Like, there doesn't have to be. There just needs to be a message, and I think that's what differentiates a creative director versus a designer. And then a couturier, I would say it's like a designer who is more focused on the techniques and the craftsmanship behind it. But yeah, so it's quite interesting. That's why I think Alessandro Michele is very successful, because he has that very strong story around him.
Absolutely.
He stuck with it. Even when people were hating on Valentino, saying it looks like Gucci. No, it doesn't look like Gucci. It looks like Alessandro Michele.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, maybe I think he would thrive in his own brand.
Oh, 100%. I really hope that one day he will have his own brand. I think I would love to see that. I would really love to
he
see
would,
that.
He
like,
would
fully
thrive.
Him. Fully him, not
absolutely.
Like... referring to other designers or the brands.
Yeah.
him. That would be fine.
Yeah, I absolutely see it, and I see it way better than at Gucci or Valentino. Like the difference is obvious. The difference is he's just very strong. His aesthetic is so strong.
I think brands do hire him because they know that, because he has such a huge fan base as well.
Yeah,
and he makes a brand his. I mean, the Gucci we know today, well, new 2 years ago, that was really like, we said, oh, that's so Gucci.
But is it Gucci?
You compare it to, like, what was Gucci with Tom Ford? It was a different Gucci. And if you look at Gucci today, I mean, Gucci's chapter is going to change again. unfortunately. It's just so different. Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't think that we would jump into the Gucci debacle this quickly.
No, let's not do that. Gucci's podcast for its own.
It kind of makes sense that...
Yeah, it does.
I mean, to be fair, like, also brands need to be able to allow the creative directors to define themselves. But then there was, again, like I said, there was a difference between a good designer and a creative director. And nowadays, being a good designer is just not enough. There's so Absolutely. Much competition, so Absolutely. Much competition. And you can't do any... Like, you can't... like. You can tell just based on the sales. Like, it's all public. You can go and see their financial reports and see which brands are doing well and which brands are not. And when you see which brands are doing well are the ones who have a very, very strong messaging behind them.
Absolutely.
Even if it's something stupid like Loewe and their tomatoes and the green color. That's not a deep message behind it, but it's still so strong that you always recognize mm-hmm. it. Like, I always think of that meme, you know, remember the tomato?
Yeah.
This tomato looks so Loewe. It's like, so people look at this, like, and just a normal everyday object and think, oh, that's so Loewe. Like, that's what you need as a brand. And you said that, of course, you said that with the couture show. The couture show is if you're able to do a couture show, it's your opportunity to just go crazy. Because no one is actually going to buy those things. Like, maybe yeah. some celebrity is going to wear them on the red carpet. Maybe one person will buy one. Like, people, it's not for buying things. It's your time to actually set the tone for the whole ready-to-wear collections and seasons after that.
100%. And I think that's why it would as well maybe help a lot of brands if they would just show once a year. Like, set the tone for the spring, summer. No, wait.
Set the tone for the year.
Yeah, set the tone for the year. So start in January. That's the couture show in January. And then build the whole collections up on that. And then
exactly.
I think that would maybe even be easier to then, you know, come up with new chapters. And then if next year you see, okay, this worked well this whole year, we can dive deeper in that or like maybe leave off.
Yeah, exactly. And you can use like similar colors, similar techniques, similar stuff throughout the shapes, throughout the collections for the rest of the year. And that would actually create a very strong storytelling for the brand, which I think is super important. I don't see it happening that much. Like, that's why I'm just looking at Chanel now, like just the main picture on Vogue Runaway. And I'm sorry, but that's... It just doesn't look like, why? What's the point?
Hey, I think the Chanel conversation is as well another conversation to be honest. But I think when I look at this collection, I think personally it's not my style. However, I see for some reason stronger pieces than I saw the past years. That might be
that
just my
Chanel
personal
or Valentino. Which one are we talking about?
Sorry, now I'm talking about Chanel.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah. No, Valentino was very strong before. But I think Chanel is like, it was just not my style, and it was kind of missing these points that we were saying before. Like, I don't know if it was with you, actually. We were, or with someone else, I was walking past a Chanel window.
Yeah, there it was with me.
Was it with you? Where there was the skirt in the window.
It was a dress.
Was it a dress?
10,000 euro dress
with like threads sticking out and like dust on the floor, and I was like,
Is that your best display piece? Like
Literally.
on the
And that was,
windows?
and to be fair, that was in Paris, in one of like these very famous shopping streets, like Paris. Chanel is from Paris, like,
Yeah,
excuse me.
we were walking back to your flat after
Yeah.
Silencio, and we literally just like walked past it and saw it, and we're like, what the hell is
it was a walk stopper. Like, we had to stop to look at
like,
that.
no, but can you imagine how bad the condition of that dress must have been if we were able
Yeah.
to sew it, like just walking past the street at night?
No,
Like
for
we weren't
real.
even looking for it. We literally just walked past it and we're like, wait, what is this? Why are there threads always hanging around? Why is this so
Yeah.
messy? And this is, yeah, one of the main shopping streets in Paris. Like that's ridiculous.
That was really crazy. But yeah, I think looking at that, for me, Chanel was just started even missing with the craftsmanship. But again, this was
Oh yeah,
ready to
they've
wear what
been
we
known
saw, and
about
this was
that.
not that, and it was not couture, so maybe that's
Yeah.
the difference. I don't know.
No, but that's also a huge difference, like
Yeah, most
a
likely,
very
trust
long
me.
conversation about Chanel's
Yeah.
craftsmanship and price increases. That's a whole another 2 hour episode, I think.
I think so too. I think so too. But I quickly want to go back to something you said earlier. You were mentioning something about brands allowing creative directors to express their creative vision or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of ties me into your favorite show of this season, the Jean Paul Gaultier one. I think that's a really
Yes.
cool concept that Jean Paul Gaultier has at the
Oh,
moment. With like, because I mean, these
I
designers are
love
gonna be
it.
there for one season. Might as well go all in or go home. Wait, what? How do you say that? Go in
Yeah.
or go home.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that's not how you say it, but you want to get what I
It
mean.
was something like that. I got what you mean.
Yeah. Because I think this was, as you said earlier, I'm not sure if we're gonna cut this out, if this is in the cutout part or not. But as you said earlier, I think this was one of the strongest shows of the season as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's a pers my favorite. I love it. I would wear almost every look. You know about my aspirations about look 29. I need
Love
to
it.
own this dress. I will do anything to have it. And I think why it worked so well. Like, first of all, I agree with you. I love this concept. It's so great, and you can see the difference between all of the other directors. Because I went on the other day just to go through and like Simone Rocha and Glenn Martens and to see how they interpreted their vision with the brand codes. And while I do think everyone is overdoing the sailor aesthetic a little bit, they could do something, go something differently, but it's so great. You can see the difference, and why
Yeah.
I love this one in particular is because I thought, while it is still the sailor theme, it was so creative.
Yeah, I
It was
agree.
such a creative interpretation to just base it on the actual sea and the pirates, and then the sea creatures and the swans.
Exactly. It was
It
not
was
just like the
so good.
stripes and like the
Yeah, exactly.
general.
It wasn't just
Yeah.
stripes and just corsets, stripes and corsets. It had an actual concept behind it. Like when I was watching it, I could see like, oh, okay, we're on a ship with the pirates. There's like the courtesan dresses, and then the shipwreck, and then there were like the sea creatures. And then they were all in nets, the sea creatures and the sirens. And then I
Love
just
that
thought it was
detail.
a beautiful, it's a story. It doesn't
Yeah.
have a deep meaning behind. I mean,
No.
you can find it if you look for it, but it's just like you were saying, like, oh, okay, a shipwreck. So I'm just gonna bring like all of these notes from the 1800s and mix them with the corsetry that is known for Jean-Paul Gaultier, and I thought that was such a great collection.
I agree.
I
I
agree.
agree. I think it is
That was
so
a
nice.
standout for me.
I agree. Because I did the same with the compare, looking back at the seasons, and as well with Ludovic de Saint-Sernin, which, by the way, was the designer for this specific collection. I looked as well at his last collections, and I see so much of. I think he evolved a lot since his first show, which I think was in 2019, actually. So he's quite a
Yeah.
young designer.
Yeah, he's quite
It's quite a
new.
young brand. But to see how he evolved, I think this collection that he just did for Jean-Paul Gaultier is so him. But at the same time, it's so Jean-Paul Gaultier. And looking at all the collections that were done, couture collections that were done for Jean-Paul Gaultier in the past years, that started, by the way, in 2020, when he started to take guest designers in. I think this was personally one of my favorites, I want to say. Well, okay, style-wise, I think it's really my style. But maybe that's done. All of them were really
Yeah,
strong,
that's
but I think this one to me stands out of the ones so far. Where I must say, I really liked Glenn Martin's as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he does at Margiela.
I want to so much. Simone Rocha is really strong as well, I agree. But I really like her aesthetic as well. I think it's so recognizable amongst
Again, yes,
designers.
exactly. It's a recognizable aesthetic, not just the actual separate design pieces, but the overall aesthetic. People
Absolutely.
overuse the word aesthetic nowadays way too much, but I think in this case, it is actually important.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think we're ready for the creative crisis talk?
Yes, I think that's a good segue.
I think so too. Yeah, I think when you're talking about this whole thing of like creating an aesthetic, lifestyle, and atmosphere around you, that leads us to the creative director and CEO changes we're going through at the moment. Honestly, like, let's face
I've
it,
lost
it.
track of who's
Same, same,
where at this
honestly.
point. I need a timeline. I need someone to make a timeline and a big chart of where people are going because now in my head is mixing up like, wait, was that a rumor or did he actually go there? You know?
There's so many rumors at the moment. I think at this point, I think there's like Jonathan Anderson joining Dior, there's Galliano joining Dior, and there is wait, what's it all?
Yeah, no, there was a Kim Jones going to Burberry. There's Daniel Lee going to Jill Sander. There is what else? Like, there's so many rumors.
For it, but I mean, alone Dior at the moment has two or three creative directors that they're
Yeah,
gonna
I
take
think there
over the
was
full
someone
brand, you know?
else. Yeah,
I
I think there was someone else as well,
think
but I
so
just
too.
forgot the name.
Yeah,
And we'll
same.
see. I mean, at this point, like, I don't know who's where, who's just a rumor, who actually got appointed.
It's really wild.
And then every day there is a new one, like Mugler as well.
Yeah, I know. But Loewe, is it confirmed already that?
No. So I looked that up because I did think it's confirmed because I
Right, but it's
had
not.
blind, but I don't think it's confirmed. No,
Yeah,
I'm
I don't
not
think so
sure.
either. Yes,
Let's
suddenly I was
see.
like, yeah, okay, that's a mess.
Let's see.
That's a mess.
But who would be going to Loewe then? Yeah, no, it still says Jonathan Anderson is at
Yeah,
Loewe.
okay. You know, the thing is with Loewe, I think it really depends where he. If he were to leave, where he would be going. If he were actually going to Dior, I think they would need someone else from the LVMH universe for Loewe.
Yeah.
Because it was so successful. Like, the numbers they were writing were so good. I think one of the best in the industry.
Yeah.
So I wonder whose aesthetic is strong enough to get the, because I think the important thing is when they switch creative directors that they go into a full new direction, because otherwise you're always going to compare the new one to the last one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But there
Yeah.
still needs to be like the brand essence behind it.
100%. 100%. So I don't really know how they would do it with Loewe. I was wondering, you know, the LVMH is doing as well the LVMH prices. Okay, they have a lot of young creatives that they're
That would be very cool to get a new,
exactly.
actually a new one.
And I mean, I'm not saying anything, but I mean this year's no, well, 2024's winner was Hoda Kotb. And I wonder if they would suddenly have her in one of the brands. I don't think it's the time yet. I don't think her time has come yet. But I wonder if they would look back at these
Yeah.
creatives and take one of these into one of the big houses.
I think whoever can handle a newer face.
Yeah, but it needs to be a strong new face. Because
Yeah.
I think that kind of leads us back to the Gucci discussion. But I must say, I think, I generally think...
Just going back to Gucci.
Literally. But I generally think that Sabato De Sarno is a really, really good designer. I like his aesthetic. I think it just wasn't... It just didn't work for Gucci.
Yeah, I agree. I would wear all of the... Like, this is my style. Like, the burgundy blazers, like, all of that fitted aesthetic. Like, that's what I wear every day. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, personally, as a shopper and a consumer, Sabato De Sarno's Gucci is more of something that I would buy into rather than Alessandro Michele. But then, again, like, it just felt really flat because of that. And I think that's why it didn't work that well, because Alessandro's fan base was not happy about the change.
No, and I think the problem was with Sabato De Sarno as well a bit. I once heard that, I think it was in another fashion podcast that I was listening to, as well, I have no clue if this is true or not, but I think the thing with Alessandro Michele is his identity is so strong that he would not let anyone tell him what he could be doing creatively.
Yeah, and I saw that on Twitter as well. Someone said that on Twitter this morning.
No. And I think, you know, with in these big brands that belong to these big groups like LVMH or Kering, I think the numbers are just so important to the ones ruling the brands, that they want to have a saying, like the finance bros needs to have a saying. Thing. Yeah, exactly. And I think if they have an Alessandro Michele, which has such a strong identity and probably voice, they can't really tell him what he needs to change. So I have heard that apparently they needed someone that would listen more to directions.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I saw speculation about that on Twitter literally this morning, that they wanted someone who can be molded. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, like, Alessandro Michele had so many commercial... Like, if they use the argument that Sabato De Sarno was more commercial, which I think is true when you only look at the runways.
Yep.
But when you actually look into the shop, during Alessandro's time, there were so many commercial styles that he actually, like the Gucci Marmont bags, like he made those bags, he popularized them, and there were so many items that were super commercial and were just flying off the shelves. So I do think, like, there needs to be a balance, of course. Like, it is a business after all.
I think it's easy if you have a creative vision that is like super uncommercial to make it commercial, because you have a universe. And I think if you have a commercial vision and try to make it a dream, I think that's harder. And I think maybe that if I look at like the brands that to me work really well, that was Gucci under Alessandro Michele, as the numbers confirm, and as well Marcella or Alexander McQueen back in the days as well. I think they have a really good creative vision, and then they break it down so the everyday customer can buy into it.
Yeah.
But still be kind of part of this universe.
Yeah, it's super easy to tone it down. I think that's what people, like, that's what the executives don't get, is, like, you need that craziness during the shows. Like, that's the time to do it. Like, you're not actually going to sell most of these pieces. And, you know, when you're buying into it, as a buyer, you would go and you would just buy a small amount of units of these and then just invest in the volume drivers, which would be a way more simplified version of that. Like, that's just that's how it works, and that's what people buy, that's what people want. They want to emulate the style from the runways, but without it, because, like, it would look weird walking around looking like that in the streets. And most people who want it, they want the prestige. And you get the prestige when you get a good collection and a good show and a good story and season after season. Totally. So, yeah, I think it's a shame. It's a shame because I do like Sabato De Sarno as a design. I like his designs. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it just felt flat, and they wanted someone. I don't even know what they wanted to do, but I think it was the wrong decision to do it. Because there's so many things that go into it.
Absolutely, because I think if we compare, the show is the moment where we want to dream. That's how you hook people.
And Exactly.
I think that's what was happening with Alessandro. I think that's what happened as well this time with his couture collection. And I think with some of the designer, because if we look at statistics, he was looking at the trends. What is trendy? What, I mean, if you look at the whole old money style, more casual, you know, not the
yes.
big brand and stuff. He
oh
was
my
looking
god,
all of
I
that.
Saw the funniest TikTok about that the other day as well. It was like Gucci followed the quiet luxury old money aesthetic trend too much, not knowing that the old money aesthetic people only shop in Zara. And it's
For
true.
Real.
Like
yeah.
the moment you start following TikTok trends, you're dead. Like it's
yeah.
it's just not gonna happen. Because most of these TikTok trends, like how, like, yes, I do see a lot of them outside on the street, but so many of them, I literally only live online.
Yeah, I agree. And I think so, if we look at what he did, it was technically, it should have sold. But I think the thing that was missing around it was the universe. There was, I mean,
yeah.
obviously we have, what I remember of Sabato De Sarno is the Ancora Red, Red.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
red.
They did do like an exhibition. They did do an exhibition in London that I went to see.
Oh, how was that?
Well, again, it was like archive pieces.
Oh, but not about
the,
him.
It was the story of Gucci and archive pieces, and at the
oh,
end,
cool.
it ended with like a big like Ancora ensemble,
yeah.
and it was kind of again like I get what they were trying to do. But it didn't really work. Like, it was a nice exhibition, to be fair. I enjoyed going it. I did not regret paying for it because I did see some cool photographs. I did learn something new. Like, it was cool. There were some really cool, like, pieces from the 50s, like, original luggage from Google. Like, it was, like, really cool to see. But it was, they recreated the Savoy Hotel in London as well.
Yeah, I mean,
super,
it started
like,
there.
Crazy production value. They spent so much money on it. They literally recreated the Savoy Hotel how it looked like back then.
No way.
And yeah.
You know, if a brand has money.
Yeah, no, exactly. So like they tried to do it, but it didn't work because there was not a story around it.
Yeah. And I
don't know.
I think
there
as
was
well.
Just...
Sorry. I'm also
yeah, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm kind of thinking that maybe this is a little bit as well the issue that we have today in the creative industry, that when we look back, we always reference iconic moments in the past. But I'm kind of wondering,
yeah.
what are the iconic moments of today? What in, let's say, 50, 60 years, what will they remember of right now?
Yeah.
And I think if we are doing commercial collections, and I think this is as well a moment where I can talk about other brands. I'm not gonna lie, Dior has been super commercial and it has been working for them. Like if we just look at the financial reports, very well. But I wonder if it's something that we will remember in 50 years.
No, absolutely not.
And
I don't think they're even doing that well number-wise anymore. I think
I actually need to check the latest reports.
Did
they
you?
Out yet?
I'm not sure about the end of the year. They should come out soon for like Q3, but it depends on what year they're, are they on calendar year or fiscal year? Like what calendar they're using.
That's a really
but
question.
Let's see.
Full year results. January 2025.
Oh, okay, so they released it.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to go through it now. I think that it's going to take too
well,
long.
They're down on the year.
Yeah, that I saw. Did you see? And I think in, is it Asia that they went down from like 31% to 28%?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Asia is struggling a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
As a market.
As well. Yeah, yeah. It's been going. Yeah, I mean, Alimage has been stronger as well before.
I mean, they are performing really well, even if they're down on the year. They're still
yeah, you know,
making
you know how people are saying, yeah, LVMH is making. But you know, it's the same thing with
Kering
Gucci
is
as well.
Kering is Caring is a lot more caring is a lot more drastic. Like, you can definitely see a huge difference because they're down overall. I think the last time I checked, I don't remember which one was it. It was not their latest financial report, but the one before that. It was just YSL who did okay.
Yeah. Nah, Bottega Veneta.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, Bottega Veneta as well.
Yeah. I think they were even better
than YSL. Forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But true. We were just saying about them. What will they remember? And as well, I think that kind of ties back to what we were saying about the couture shows, that we need shows, that we need moments. And at the moment, what we are getting was Marcella last year. This season, you know, I think the collection of Jean Paul Gaultier was strong.
I don't know if I would remember it. I mean, yeah, I would remember it just because I will remake the look 29.
Yeah, I mean, we need to get married
for myself. So. Yeah, exactly. So I will remember it personally, specifically because of Look 29, because I decided that I will own something similar to that. But other than that, besides my personal feelings and my personal agenda.
But that's actually good. That's actually really good, because what do we want to have? What do we want to remake because
True.
Of the
we
story
want to
of
be
the
inspired.
Universe? Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And are
we
inspired?
Want to be inspired. I am inspired. I'm very inspired.
By
I
this collection,
my
yes.
Whole, I planned my whole wedding around this dress.
I love it. By the way, for reference, we already had like music samples and everything, how this dress
yes.
is going to make an appearance.
Exactly.
Is there going to be ballerinas in the beginning? Is there not? Like,
we don't know. The entertainment is not decided yet, but the venue vibe, the decor, everything is already decided because of this dress.
And it's
I'm
funny
not
because
I did get inspired.
I know, yeah. And the funny thing is, like, I'm saying as if we were get married, but like, I'm not involved in this marriage technically. But before that,
you take it personally now.
You know, I love how I'm gonna say to your husband, okay, listen. We have to do this and this.
We have
because
to do
Diane
this.
And I have planned your wedding.
Way before
years
you
ago.
Even knew that it was
yeah,
happening.
Exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, by the way, yeah, I am not getting married. I just saw the
dress
and decided
we're just
to
joking.
Plan everything
we're just
around it. No, I'm not joking.
No, yeah, absolutely. But I know what is funny to me is that because before that, we already had this scenario with the Mugler dress. And
oh,
now
yes,
it was
Mugler
adjusted
dress.
Because we were inspired by something new,
yeah.
by something else.
But the thing is, I've had that Mugler dress on my mind since I was 10 years old, because this is the first ever show I ever watched, and that show made me obsessed with fashion. And that dress specifically, I said I will be wearing that dress. So I was 10 years old. So it has lasted this long. So imagine Look 29 made a certain impression for me to change my choice that I've decided since I was a little girl.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, that's what we want. You know what? Yes, I will remember that collection. I will remember it because of all of that. It might be super personal and it might not be to other people. But if a collection is able to speak to so many people in a personal level like it did to me, I think that's a success.
I agree.
Even for like different styles.
For me, what was interesting, because in June when I attended Fashion Week, I was invited to this one show. I'm not going to name the name of it. But it was really interesting because the setting was so promising. And then, I'm not sure, did it open or did it end with that? I think it ended with... I'm not going to name the name either because then I would give away the brand. But there was a performer at the show and she was just... so good. Like, everyone was talking about this performer and no one was talking about the collection. And to me as well, the collection was not good. I didn't like the finishings. I didn't like how it was flowing. I didn't like the vision, the idea of it. Maybe again,
was it Victoria's Secret?
No, it was not. It was actually a couture show. It was a couture show in June. But that's another topic as well. But no, I think That's the issue. Like people are trying to make moments, but then like people are talking about only one thing and not the thing that your brand is about, aka the collection. So I think, I think it's really hard to have a creative vision that then translates into the whole concept.
No, but I think, is that your job? I mean, I'm sorry, I get
like that. That's what I was about to say.
Back to the Margiela show, like everything was thought out, the set.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the clothes, the set, the makeup, the way the models walk, the music, the shoe collaboration with Louboutin. Like, all of that was so well thought through that it just makes sense. Like, it makes sense. Totally. Like, and it is a moment. You don't have, like, an external person. Like, everything came from the brain of
and
whoever,
you know,
like, Galliano.
What is funny is now when I see an umbrella that is turned up by the wind, I'm like, oh, that's so much chill. And then I'm like, I, you know, I kind of like,
yeah.
And I think,
see, that it is the moment.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. And maybe
when I see
also
those colors, no, but that's also something that is so easily toned down. Again, that's something I can see that you can tone down for a commercial mass as well. Like, it just, like, you can recreate the vibe yourself. Like, that's the that's the point. You shouldn't be able to recreate the actual clothes. You should want to recreate the vibe of the show.
100%. 100%. Wow.
So
good.
I think we just trailed off topic and we've been rambling for how long now? An hour.
I think it
relates to the fact that you need to let creative directors do their thing and creatively direct and not drop them after a season or two seasons. Like, it's just impossible, and not hold them like so strong against the targets and sales. Like, they will come once you have the story. The sales will come by themselves. Like, you just need to let them create that moment and everything else will follow. Like, you don't need to follow TikTok trends, or you don't need to pressure them into following TikTok trends or whatever. There are so many things that go into the success of a brand. It's not just that, but it's a huge part of it. And it's something that even if everyone else is working extremely hard, like, if that's missing, then there's not that much you can do.
No, yeah, 100%. I want to add something, but then I was so inspired listening to it that I forgot.
nice.
Exactly. And I think if we look back at the big success of, let's say, Chanel with Karl Lagerfeld, he was there for 35 years, if I'm not mistaken. And if there's a reason why the houses that had creative directors for the same creative director for so long were thriving, because they were able to make it theirs. And nowadays, with, like, I mean, we have creative directors that do one season and then they leave, you know.
I genuinely need a timeline of the actual thing, what happened, and all of the rumors of what happened, because it's all mixed up in my head.
For example, I loved Peter Hawkins at Tom Ford. I think it was really interesting what he did. I think he had a really nice angle. And I was really excited to see, honestly, him explore the brand. And, you know, I was at the Tom Ford show, where at his first show. And it was so nice to see these pieces up close, and just kind of the whole vibe that he was creating with it was so cool. And up to this day, I'm thinking a lot about just the vibes. And then, like, now
thinking
that
about just the vibes.
Just the vibes.
You know, yeah, I mean, we'll see.
A certain model, you know, whatever. I think, and I would have loved to see him explore this further. But obviously, I'm gonna excited to see as well Haider Ackermann making Tom Ford his
I think people are quite excited to see him.
Yeah,
there, but you need to let him cook.
That's the thing, and I really hope he does have this time.
Like, just let him. Not just the time, just the freedom to do it. Like, it will all fall back. Like, that's what people just don't understand. I mean, no, we understand as observers and as workers in the industry. We understand it. Like, it's not a regular business. Like, we're not selling toilet paper. We're selling the dream. We're selling a lifestyle and a dream, because, like, Okay, yeah, you can say like, oh, I want to buy quality clothing or whatever. Like, if you have the money for those clothing items or like bags and shoes, like you have the money to actually get them made for you, and you know the quality is good. Like, you're not actively thinking about the quality when you go and decide to purchase those items. You buy them because of the status symbol they hold and like the story behind them. Like,
Yeah.
we're selling a lifestyle. We're not selling products.
I must admit, I think for a lot of things that I really like, I'm not, well, I obviously like them aesthetic wise, but I think I just want to be part as well of a certain universe that I see
Yeah,
myself
you
in, you
want to
know?
be that type of person. Like, you want to be the
Yeah.
type of person who looks like that.
Exactly, yeah,
You
exactly.
don't. You're not buying them specifically just because of the aesthetic purposes and that they look nice. Because nowadays, with fast fashion, you can find almost anything, like just a copy of it in Zara, for example. Like, you can, if you just want to emulate the aesthetic, like, you can do it, but it's
Yeah,
not the
absolutely.
same. Like, you are not, like, you want to be, when you go and buy a Prada bag, you want to be the person who is carrying around a Prada bag.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be all of
So
that. I
you're
want to be
buying into
that
yeah, you're buying into the lifestyle. You're not
person.
buying the actual bag because you can find a similar bag for cheaper. Way you don't need the Prada bag. You can find a similar one.
I think then often for people that are not familiar with fashion or that are just like wearing clothes but not fashion, if that makes sense. I think exactly, and I think often they don't really understand why I would spend $1,200 on tabbies, because they just see, why would you pay so much for shoes? But I'm like, yeah, but I'm not just paying for
No, but they
shoes, you know?
do. That those are the people who mostly buy into it.
Yeah, but it depends on who we're talking about. I think, people that are really far off fashion and really, I'm from
Oh,
Switzerland,
yeah.
small
Okay.
country
Yeah.
side.
From Switzerland. People
Yeah.
from Switzerland. Not
Specify from the
fashionable.
countryside of Switzerland.
Like, I'm just talking about the people from Switzerland. Yeah. Not
Yeah. No,
fashionable.
guys, I understand you, but I'm not gonna shame my people. But yeah, I think because then it's every once in a while, the other day, I'm right now doing my civil service, and I'm doing it at the school, on the countryside, deep, deep countryside, and I was wearing my Balenciaga boots, and one of the girls, we did like a little fashion show, with the kids, with like the clothes that were found, lost and found, and kind of like to
Oh,
present
that's
them to everyone.
cute.
Yeah, it was
I
really fun.
love
It was really fun.
that.
That was really fun. But then we kind of accessorized, and then I have my huge boots, although like really chunky. And then I put them on one of the girls. She's like 10 years old, maybe. And she was so fascinated by them. She was like, "Oh, I want to get them." And I was like, "Oh, bitch, that's Balenciaga." Well, I didn't say bitch, obviously. I said, "Yeah, it's I said something around the lines, yeah, it's Balenciaga," and she was like, "Oh, they must have been expensive." And I was like, "Yeah, well, they were like, set a price." And she was like, "What? Why would you pay so much for a shoe?" And obviously, she's a kid. But I think generally the vibe as well. If I were to tell my family, sorry guys, how much I spent at times on, I have spent on shoes. I think they just don't understand because it's not.
Yeah, no, I'm laughing, but it's the same way. I
No, you're
cannot
right. We
tell my
understand each
parents
other.
about how much some of the things I have cost because they're just not gonna understand. I did come clean about the price of a yeah, I did come clean about the price of a bag recently that I bought 4 years ago, and my mom was like, "What?" Yes. Because I thought, like, I bought it 4 years ago. I bought it 4 years ago. She's not gonna know. And then, yeah, she just thought it was wild. And, like, yeah, I love my mom to bits, but just, like, for her, fashion is like the least concern. Like, she obviously likes nice looking things, but she doesn't really care
Yeah.
at all. And I get that. Like, most people are like that. But then the people who are not part of the fashion circle, I believe, are the biggest clients, the
Yep,
ones buying
100%.
everything.
Exactly.
Anyways,
To wrap it up, Diana and I kind of want to talk about the name of this podcast and how what we just talked about ties in together. The name Das Spoke comes from the very famous novel by Nietzsche. It's actually called Das Spoke Zarathustra, and it Zarathustra? And it introduces the topic of the Übermensch, which kind of...
And represents a figure who transcends societal norms to create new values.
And basically, that's how we think that these days creative directors are kind of treated as well, kind of like the Übermensch. They come into a house, they are supposed to introduce a new universe that is about to revolutionize the brand and the whole landscape of fashion. And I think this is quite a difficult task to take on, because at the end of the day, as we've earlier discussed, it is really not just about the creative visions of a creative director. These days it's much more as well what sells, what does not, and if this the idea that is introduced by probably the management, probably as well in combination with the creative director, I would assume. But if this is not working, they're just going to hop on to the next one. And I think as well, that kind of ties in as well with how fashion, especially luxury fashion, is working these days. Like, the numbers are decreasing and the creative directors are changing, the CEOs are changing on like very rapidly. And I think that kind of ties in together as well.
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree. And I also think the fact that the numbers are decreasing has nothing to do with the creative directors. It's just the state of the world right now. And we are in this moment. But it feels like a lot of these companies just do not have the patience to wait out this period. Yeah. And of course, that I'm talking about big companies and not smaller smaller designers and smaller companies, they do not have the funds to wait out. So they do need to fight to make it through, but these massive companies, they have the funds and they can wait it out and they can invest more in their employees and their designers instead of just switching them when there is no sales coming up, because you need to let, like I've said before, you just need to let the creative directors do their job.
Literally.
Like, you just let them do their job, invest in them, find someone you believe in, and it would all work out. Like, the sales will come from there. Like, investing in the people, I think that's again another topic that could be so long, is how is just the industry does not invest in the people in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they do, like, it would be a much better workplace. And yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for this talk. I would say,
of course,
that's a wrap, or should I say a perfectly tailored finish. I worked so long on this finishing line. Love it.
Oh my god.
Excuse me, but can we quickly talk about fashion's creative crisis? Excuse me, but can we quickly talk about fashion's creative crisis?